We on? Now then, Ray Winston here. The real one. Close enough. Doing a new podcast with me mate Tony. Soprano, that is.
Oh, how you doing?
Talking all the big stuff. Birds, scraps, films.
And of course, men's mental health. With studio guests such as arch feminist and top broad Deborah Francis White and disgraced scumbag comedian Dapper Laughs.
Something for everyone. We're trying to be better men, ain't we, Tone?
That's right. We're bad boys done good.
Available on YouTube and to download on all good audio platforms. Go on, get off your hands, you dopey c***.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of your favorite podcast, Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to Insane in the Membrane with me, Rich Wilson, and producer Paul. Thank you for your continued listening. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much. It's been great. Great response to last week's episode. Great response to all of the episodes. So thank you for that. Before we get into it, as you know, regular listeners, we have to do the admin first. And so here we are. Become a Patreon and watch behind the scenes recording of this episode. So go to patreon.com/membrane podcast. And like we say, you get the video, you get exclusive, you get the episode before everybody else. And yeah, do that for us. And, you know, just bung us a couple of quid just so we can keep the lights on, you know, keep the heating going. That we'd really appreciate that, because without you, this podcast doesn't go anywhere. So thank you very much to all our patrons already. Last week, I did say that you could drop us a line if there's anything you want to happen on the podcast or guests that you feel would be great to have on. Thank you to David Harris for getting in touch. Nice one, David. Appreciate that, mate. Your continued support does not go unnoticed. And also, now I can't remember how you pronounce this, so I don't want to butcher it. I'm going to go, is it Colin? Colin, right, Colin. It's a Gaelic, it looks like it's Gaelic, I believe it is. Colin O'Laughlin. And I might be wrong, but I think that, if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. Drop me a line, because I can't remember how you pronounce it. I know it was something like that. But thank you for your recommendations. Yeah, absolutely. There's a few names on there I've already spoken to, so they'll be coming on. So nice one, mate. So yeah, become a patron. You could drop us a line. You become a producer, more or less. That's it. You're part of the team. So do that for us. That'd be great. So yeah, it's patreon.com/membrane podcast. Bung us a couple of quid. Jump on the team. Come on the firm. You know you want to. Check out stylish Insane in the Membrane t-shirts and hoodies, plus Insane in the Membrane coffee beans from Wogan Coffee in Bristol. Use the exclusive Membrane listener promo code Membrane for 10% off of our podcast packs. That's the coffee. You can find all these on our link tree. So the link is in the bio of all of our social media. Everything that we do is now connected to our link tree. Even down to hiring producer Paul to produce your podcast. It's all there. It's all there. So there we are. So, the podcast. I do you know what? Actually, before I get into it, do you know what, right? So I said the other week, right, I said I've been struggling a little bit. And thanks, Danny Phillips, for your lovely message. I appreciate that, mate. So I said I have been struggling a little bit with, I don't know, my confidence, facing up to things, sorting some stuff out. You just put it off and it becomes bigger than it really is. And there's a couple of phone calls I was supposed to make and I hadn't done them. And I'm like, oh, God, just do it. Come on, man. And so the other day I went, oh, just do it. So I did it. And it's brilliant. I needn't have worried. I made the phone call. I spoke to my mates. I've sorted it out. I don't know what I was worried about. Built it up in my head. So, and it was keeping me up. I was, honestly, I wasn't sleeping. I was thinking all manner of horrible stuff. Just have a, just make, honestly, the phone call won't be as bad as you think it's going to be. So make that call. Make that call. Reach out and make the call. It's hard. Of course it's hard. But you'll feel better in the long run, I promise you. So that's what I did. Yeah. So I'm in a better place. I'm having a lovely time. A lovely message like the one from Danny Phillips. Beautiful. I just, it's nice to be loved, isn't it? You know, that's what you want to do. Reach out, tell people. It's hard, though. It's hard to turn around and to say that you need help. You don't want to look stupid. You know, you want to look like you're holding it together. But really, and sometimes you don't know how to ask. Sometimes you just got to go, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm struggling over here. Sometimes it's got to be as obvious as that. But, you know, if you can do it, do it. I urge you to do so. Anyway, speaking of mates, this week, our podcast guest is the mighty Stu Whiffin. Now, he's been mentioned a million times whenever or wherever I go. If you know hardcore listings, you know, off the beaten track. He's part of the Distraction Pieces Network, which is a Scroobius Pip. And he's the reason that the podcast exists. Like, we talk about that in the episode. We go over where we met and how we met. But yeah, without him, without that podcast, without Hardcore Listings with Stu and Chris and Brad Axon, this wouldn't exist. And so, you know, I just wanted to get him on and have a chat with him. It was a brilliant chat. We ended up talking about all sorts of things. We talked about mental health, as you do, and then we talked about his recent trip down to the Polish-Ukraine border. And it was fascinating to speak to someone that's actually been down there and to see actually firsthand what's going on. It's a fascinating listen. And so you're going to really love that. So, without further ado, coming up in a minute, it's Stu Whiffin.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A podcast from producer Paul.co.uk.
Insane in the membrane.
I tell you what, mate, it's been a long time coming, and here we are.
Isn't it?
And here we are. Is. Because you are the reason that this podcast exists. So it's good to finally get you on.
Oh, mate, see? It's lovely to be on. It's lovely to have seen, you know, from was you coming on Hardcore Listing the first podcast you ever done?
It was the first one I ever did. It's the first one I was ever invited onto. I didn't know anything about the world of podcasting. We'd connected. You'd see me at Grey's in the theatre, and then you were like, "Come and do this." And I was like, "I don't even know what that is, but I'll do it." And I remember I just moved to Leon C, so I didn't know the area at all. And then I get the train to Stanford or whatever it was, Stanford La Hope, and then I'm like, I don't know where the fuck I am. And then got a taxi to yours, and it was all this big adventure. I'm in like darkest Essex, like, what the fuck is this? And then I get there, and then, because I don't know what to expect. And I get there, and you've got the Whiffin all set up. It was incredible. Like this, like you've got the bar that you've got, like, where your studio set up like a little pub, and it was just, I had one of the best nights of my life with you and Chris.
Oh, it was good fun, wasn't it?
It's so much fun, and I really loved it. So I came away like, I didn't really think about doing it myself, but I came away like, going, oh, mate, that was fucking great. Top boys. And then it made me realise that there was a lot more going on in Essex than I'd, you know, because you go with the stereotypes and what you've been told, the same as you do with Kent, where I'm from. And then you realise there's more. There's artists, there's musicians, there's writers, there's poets, there's all sorts, actors, all sorts of things going on. It's such a wonder. It's so rich in Essex. There's so much art and so many creatives down there. And then it was Brad Axon just messaged me and he goes, I think you did really, really well on that. You should do one yourself. And then look where we are, 3 years in. Like 500,000 downloads or whatever it is, and fucking away we go. This is amazing. Oh, yeah.
Love it, mate. You've had some stonking guests on as well, mate.
But this is literally thanks to you, because I watch you, and then like talking to you, and then you'll have like Chuck D on yours, and I'm like, how the fuck did you do that? You go, well, I just asked him. I'm like, oh yeah, I suppose you could just ask. They're just people.
Yeah, I mean that's the best way of kind of phrasing throw enough shit something might stick.
Mm.
Like, just like, I'll just throw 100 invites, and if one comes back, oh, sweet.
But that's what I like about you. I've literally just had this conversation with producer Paul, because producer Paul has been reaching out to a few people because he does a lot of stuff with other folks.
Mm.
And I have real trouble asking people to come and do it. I don't know why. I'm like, oh, I'm just a bit embarrassed or whatever else. But the producer
Paul.
Why is that? I don't know.
Because Chris, who I do a hardcore listing with, he's the same.
Yeah.
Like, we've done. Like, I reckon with the Patreon episodes, we've probably done 1,000 episodes.
Amazing.
I think he's booked 2 guests.
I don't know what it
is. And he just can't do it. He's like, I don't know what it is. I can't do it.
It's the fear of rejection. It's that fear of rejection coming when we were kids. I know where mine came from. Having no said to me a lot when I was growing up. Like, no. Like, oh, can I have no? Can I do no? So it kind of comes from that. I'm worried that I'm going to reach out and they're going to go, no. Because you're a fucking idiot. And you're like, oh, shit, all right. But I know
you say that, but you put yourself out there on a stage in one of the hardest games in the world.
It doesn't make sense, does it? Doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I can't ask you, my mate. I can't ask my mate to come on the podcast, but I can stand in front of strangers and I can chat away for hours. Hours.
And throw yourself open, potentially, to ridicule.
Yeah. I don't know why. I feel so comfortable up there on stage. Like, I'm more comfortable in that in the 20 minutes, half hour, or whatever I'm doing than I am the rest of the time. I don't know.
Surely it weren't always like that, though. Obviously, there must have been a fair few of them early gigs that was like brutal. Terrifying, right?
Yeah, of course, mate. Yeah. I'm fundamentally a shy person, so the fact that I even do that in the first place is fucking nuts. But what I like about you, and I've noticed this about you, you seem fearless. Whether you are or not, I don't know what's going on underneath, but on the surface, mate, you just go, yeah, I'm going to go and do that. You're also one of the most positive people I've ever met. Like, you're just such a doer. You'll go, right. Like, I'll say an idea or something, and I'll go, oh, maybe I'll get to that. But you'll go, I've had this idea, let's do it. And then you're all of a sudden, things are happening. And I really admire that. Where does that come from? Have you always been like that? You just go. You're just tenacious. You're just like, I'm going to go and do it. And then you go and do it.
Well, firstly, thanks, mate. Like, you know, that is something that I would probably say if I had to say, like, have you got any sort of thing about you that I don't know, that you're quite proud of? And what I think a lot of that is, Rich, right, is I don't want to have regrets. Right?
Yeah, right,
and I don't, and I'll tell you what, I can give you an example, right? So in the 90s, I was in bands,
yeah,
and in the first band, I was a singer, and I can't sing. Right? in the second band, I was like the songwriter, and I can't really write songs, and I was a keyboard player, and I can't play keys. I had to write the notes on the keys, and we got filmed once, and the camera zoomed in. And I was like, literally, like, oh, fuck off, mate, don't, because like, I've got like A to E written in eyeliner on all of my keys.
Yeah, but in my thought, it was ironic, you know, it was those times.
But I threw myself into that, and I was always the one in the band that like booked all together, like, essentially managed us,
yeah.
and done everything. And it was like, right, okay, so all I want to do is I want to release a record, I want to get on the radio once, and I want to get in a shitty van and I want to do one little tour and I want to get on the telly once. And that was what I thought, right, I can do this.
Yeah.
And like, and we did do that. And then once that was done, this would have been towards the late 90s when all of a sudden, like, you've got things like OK Computer coming out and you've got, like, music was just like, steamrolling along and like, the changes of it were, like, incredible. And there was a lot of really fucking smart music coming out then. And I just realised that, like, we just weren't very good. Like, we had some good songs, but we'd reached the end of our capabilities. And I just thought, do you know what? I've done what I set out to do. And I've done this to the best of my ability. What's next?
Yeah, right.
Like, let's put that to bed now and do the next thing.
Yeah.
And like, and I think, always, I like, I'm not a control freak, but I like to be in control of, like, what I do. And I don't like working for other people.
No.
And I think when you do work for yourself, as you know, like, if you don't make it happen, it don't happen.
Yeah.
Like, and so I think, I've always sort of had that, and I think from, and also being like a club promoter all my life, you have to be a little bit kind of ballsy and take a chance and shout about what you're doing, otherwise you don't make any money. Don't get me wrong, I've shouted about a lot of clubs I've promoted and still not made any money over the years. But yeah, like, you know, in a long-winded answer, I think I've always just thought, look, I'll just have a real good go at it. And if I'm not good enough at it, it ain't my fault. I've done the best I can. I can put that to bed and then on to the next thing. So,
yeah,
you know, I've always done that. And yeah, if I have an idea, I just think, well, let's do it. And if it goes wrong, who fucking cares?
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's worrying. When I said this literally yesterday, I was talking to someone about comedy and I said, the day you don't give a fuck is the day that you'll become a brilliant comedian. Because, and it's a weird one, because you do give a fuck, while at the same time you don't give a fuck. And I mean that by not giving a fuck what other people think. That's the difference. And like you say, it's like, yeah, no, everyone's, like Michael Smiley said, like, everyone's transmitting, no one's receiving. So just do it. Just do the things.
What I will say, though, is I'm quite vain. I'm quite, I do like that sort of affirmation that you get from when you do something and people are going, oh, nice one, mate. Yeah, like, course, I like that. But I've always surrounded myself, my closest circle are people that just are their own person. They're very unique. They don't give a shit. So my best mate is Cunt in the Gang, who's been on this podcast. And I was with him last night, and he's been my best friend for over 40 years. And
wow.
He's never given a shit what people think of him.
Amazing.
He's done his thing. And we weren't the cool kids up at school. I mean, we didn't go to the same school. He went to a school for clever kids.
Maybe that's it. That's why he knew not to give a fuck, because he was on another level already.
And he just doesn't. And I was always like, you know, all the lads that were good at football and good with the girls and things like that. Yes, when you're like, you're 13 and 14, it was like, oh man, I wish I was a bit more like that. But essentially, I always wanted to go and hang out with Cunt and do daft things, because he didn't care. And that always excited me way more. And my other nearest and dearest is a guy called Justin. And you know Justin, and he doesn't give a shit.
No.
And there's just excitement in that. You know, you don't know where it's going to go. They're not horrible people. They'd never do anything to spite anyone.
No, of course
but
not.
But they're their own unique people.
Yeah. It's admirable.
And there's a freedom to that excites me that I haven't got. But if I surround myself with enough people like that, I'll get a taste of it.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Having been around both of them, Justin particularly, you kind of go, he's like a Tasmanian devil in a pair of smart shoes. You're like, what the f-? He just goes off, and you just kind of go, they go, is he with you? You go, yeah. And then they go, all right. And you go, yeah, I wish I was doing that as well, but I ain't got the bollocks. Exactly. I'm going to watch him do it.
Exactly.
But I like that. But then there's that. So you're always pushing yourself, and I admire that. And you're always like you say, there's always another project that you're working on. You never, even with the lockdowns and all that, like, you were still going, oh, we're working on this thing now, we're doing this, ideas, merch. Even when the pink toothbrush that you've You run it, didn't you? You're the manager. You're the runner. Or you
promoter
for it. Even that, when the club wasn't even working, you're like, right, how can we keep this going? How can we keep this alive? So you were doing the T-shirts with the SOS boys. And then that happened. And then blah, blah, blah. And just bang, 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 bang. But then also, and not really, this is really something that hit me, was when you and I had a chat. And then you turned around and went, yeah, I'm struggling a little bit, to be honest. And it was the first time I kind of went, oh, fuck yeah, even the strongest of us have a moment where they go, yeah, I'm still like you. This still affects me. And it was a real, it really gave me an insight into what goes on, you know. Like, it made me realise that, yeah, you're pushing yourself, but also you're pushing yourself because otherwise you let that shit in, and you don't want to let that shit in. Because it'll get in the way. It puts a stick in your spokes. So, you know, it was a real moment.
That's a big part of it. Mm. It's like, you know, I throw myself into things because it's a distraction.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of things are a distraction. There's things that, like, I would trade, you know, 10,000 likes on a social media post for one like from, you know, from something that would hit home far, far heavier.
Mm.
I don't want to sort of go too into that, but yeah, it's like there's things that the lockdown thing, I just literally couldn't take my foot off the gas, and it was like, right, just keep going, because everything I'd done to that was my source of income stopped, much like, you know, comedians, much like actors. Nightclubs were the first to shut and the last to reopen, so it was a real worry, like it was for so many people. And when I spoke to you, like, I was like, oh, shit, man, this is, like, I'm actually, like, and I don't say this, like, with any kind of sort of check me out, but, like, I don't struggle with my mental health that much.
No.
And I'm really thankful for that, like, but when I spoke to you, I was feeling pretty shit, and then up until about the last 3 months, until probably about a month ago, just fucking went off the edge and just was like, oh man, this is, I've never felt like this before. Like, I've never not wanted to get out of bed. I've never not had the desire to go and go to the boxing club and have a little workout or anything. I just couldn't be fucking bothered with any of it. And I had no motivation for work. I just weren't interested. And it just literally, I've been working from home, and Rich, I think up until lockdown, all I'd ever tried to do was work out a way that I could do all of my work from a laptop, so I could work anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, right, I can move anywhere, and all I need is my laptop. And what happened was that come into play. I was like, oh, I can, like, everything that I do can now be done on a laptop.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I'm really unhappy.
Yeah.
Because normally if I had to go and record a podcast, I'd jump on the train and go into London and meet someone, sit in a room and feel the kind of sort of, I don't know what you call it, the ambience, the you know, read the body language. And, you know, I like being in a room with people and talking. And all of a sudden, well, look, you can do that, but that you lose a whole day.
Yeah.
Whereas doing it remotely, it's an hour, and then like 15 minutes later, you can do another one if you want.
Yeah.
And so as much as that made it really easy, I just started to realise that I don't leave my house anymore. Like, I get up and I go and sit on the sofa, and then I get up and I go into the front room for a couple of hours, put the telly on and sit on that sofa, and then go to bed. And I was like, I'm really fucking sad. Like, yeah. I feel really fucking sad and I can't shake it. And I rented an office. I don't need an office. I've got this at the end of the garden where I'm sitting now. And I'm not showing off. It's a shed. Like, but I was like, I need routine. And so I literally went to, of all the most glamorous places, East Tilbury, and rented an office.
Where was
just
it?
So I had somewhere to get up in
East,
the morning.
East Tilbury.
East Tilbury.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's it. You need that. That was the difference with the lockdowns. Like, what we lost was having to go somewhere. We weren't needed anywhere.
Yeah.
And so you doing that, fuck, it doesn't matter where it is. Like you said, it's now, right, I've got this appointment at this time, I've got to go to the office.
Yeah.
It's important, man.
Yeah, you know? it really is, Rich. And like, and it's made a big difference. It's like, it's, you know, because everything was suffering. Like, you know, the knock-on of it, because, my kids were here, and it was like, it was just like, I didn't realise it crept up on me. Like, it just crept, because a little bit of me thinks I'm a little bit sort of, oh, I'll be all right, just get on with it. And like, and it was the first time where I just thought, oh, shit, I've got to do something now, because this is taking hold. Like, what can I do here? And rather than start another 6 podcasts, I was like, right, okay, I need a routine.
Yeah.
And so, it sounds pathetic, but I joined a gym that wasn't boxing, and I was like, right, just get on the treadmill and then go to the office and walk the dog and just, like, do all the things and all the things you hear about when you listen to other people talking about well-being and things like that. I was like, right, well, let's try some of this and see what happens. And it's made a massive difference. And I'm talking to you today feeling pretty chipper.
That's lovely. I'm so pleased, because it does. Like, I've said this a load of times on here, like, you'd have to be a psychopath to not be affected by everything that's gone on. By, you know, we never in a million years thought that things would change the way that they did and have. You know, they're everything's different now. We're different people. We've all aged. Yeah. You look at people now. I look at photos of myself from a couple of years ago, I'm like, fuck me. I have aged, man. There's been a lot going on in the last couple of years. With that in mind, talking about change, now, you did an amazing thing, and you took a load of supplies, a van load of supplies down to the wonderful people of Ukraine. You went to down the Polish border. And I want to talk to you about that, because I thought that was so spectacular that you did that. Like, you just went, I'm going to go and help. I'm going to go and do that. And because most people can't look at it and we go, oh, what can I do? And you just went, I'm going to do this. This is what we're doing. I've got other mates as well. There's a mate of mine, Sharon, and she's going down to the border to help, to go and get, because charities can't help get the kids and people over the border. But I could go down there and I can help. And Sharon and her mates, they're going down. They're going to go and escort children over the border from Ukraine into Poland. It's such an incredible thing. And I saw a picture the other day of a woman, just a civilian woman. It's a picture of her hand, and she's got nail varnish on. And she was just lying dead in the street. And I was looking at that, and I was like, and I saw the nail varnish. I'm like, fucking hell. A few weeks ago, she went to the salon. She had her nails done. She was probably talking about what colour to have. She was talking about, you know, they fell off last time, or they did this, or they did that. She's having a laugh with her mates. Never in a million years did she think a few weeks later she wouldn't be around. And it really hit me that things can change in that instant. You know what I mean? And it just... So for you to stand up and go, I'm going to go and help, was so spectacular. Like,
it was that very reason.
Yeah.
There are people like me and you that... Yeah. Within a matter of like 2 days, it's like, right, get a bag, get the kids, get the dog, and you're going to go, I don't know where you're going to go, but you've got to get out of this country, but not you. You've got to stay, potentially kill someone or potentially get killed. Right, hurry up.
Yeah.
Like that's incomprehensible, Rich.
No, mate.
That hundreds of thousands of millions of people's lives can change that rapidly and that dramatically and horrifically, it fucking fried my brain, Rich. And I'm now known as Refugeesus.
This is what I like. Right, I talk about us, like, we know, we're a bit, there's a bit of us that's a bit laddie, but the rest, but there's a heart, there's soul. We are creatives, and we do, you know, there's more to us than what you might... what you might gain from just listening to us. But then there's always a nickname at the end of it.
Always.
Okay, you haven't achieved anything less is a nickname by the end of it. But yeah, sorry, go on.
Well, do you know what, Rich? Like, I got COVID. I got COVID when, like, no one cared anymore, like, about 3 weeks ago. And it was like, oh, so I got no kind of sympathy. And it was literally the day that the conflict started. And I got booted out of my house and sent round to my mum's, because she's overseas. So I was sitting in their house, and it's a nice house in a little village. And I had nothing to do. And so I'd spent £9 on a bottle of red wine. Now, people like me and you don't spend £9 on a bottle of wine, mate.
Like, I don't know. I always aim between 8 and...
Oh, hello.
I go, yeah. Mate, I'm middle class now. I've got Le Creuset. I've got Le Creuset cups.
Fucking hell.
You got to go between 8 and 12, get a decent bottle. I'm telling you. Right. Telling you. But right. I know, yeah, old school us. Yeah. How much did you spend?
£9.
No, it was £9. Yeah. All right, so you treat yourself. Treat yourself.
Yeah. I thought, right, so I spent £9 on this bottle of wine. And I sat there, and I was, like all of us, just sitting there watching Sky. And just, like, open-mouthed at, like, what I was seeing. And it sounds pathetic, but I just thought, you know what? Up the road's my house, where my family are safe.
Yeah.
And I'm now sitting in another warm, nice house that, you know, that my parents own, that are happy and safe on a holiday. And now look at me with me £2 bag of Walker's Sensation Sweet Chilli and me £9 bottle of Beaujolais. It's like, come on, mate.
Yeah.
Like, I literally felt like such a fat cat. It was horrible. And I just thought, right, what can you do? And so I got up the next day and I thought, right, I'm going to sort of try and do something. And it was really bizarre. There's an amazing musician called Emily Capel. And she phoned me up and she went, you're going to get a phone call from Martin Rossiter from Gene in a minute. I hope you don't mind me giving you his number. But she, me and her have spoke at length about the fact that we're both mega fans of the band Gene.
Brilliant band. Yeah.
And he'd been on my music podcast and we'd got on quite well. And he phoned me up and he said, look, I'm sitting here watching the news and I want to do a gig. And he'd sort of pretty much retired from music.
Mm.
And he was like, I want to do a gig. Have you got anyone that you think you could ring up and see if they'll play? So I was like, yeah. So I made it. Literally all I'd done was text a few people. So I text Andy Bell from Ride and Oasis, The Subways, Get Kate, Where Kate Fly, Star Sailor, and, there was another one. And literally within like 10 seconds, everyone just went, yep, definitely.
Amazing.
So I just hooked him up with Martin and then he went, right, brilliant. Shepherd's Bush Empire's booked.
Wow.
We've got a couple of, like, James Acaster done it. A couple of comedians done it.
Yeah.
And he booked a few more bands. And that was it. It was all up and done and on sale the next day. And it was like, I was like, wow, that was amazing what he's done there. Like, I was like, right, what can I do? And I just thought, I'm going to just fucking go out there. And so I just rung a couple of people up that I just thought were daft enough to say yes. And they were like, yes, do it. And I then put a shout out and this amazing girl called Katie responded on Facebook and said she works for a company called, I'm going to shout them out, Envirovan in Basildon, and said, look, if you want a van, you can have a van.
Wow.
And like, I was like, oh, this is incredible.
Yeah.
Then another company reached out and said, here's £500 for fuel.
Wow.
And it was like, right, we're on.
Yeah.
Like, this is it. And so I sort of set up a thing at my club and said, look, I'm going to be collecting stuff today from 12 o'clock till 3 o'clock. If you can bring down toiletries, you know, nappies, sanitary towels, you know, first aid stuff and thermal clothing, that'd be amazing if anyone wants to donate anything. We opened the door at 12 and it was insane, Mitch. It was like hundreds of people.
Wow.
Like, all just like bringing, like, we had phone calls from Superdrug, from Boots saying, you've cleared us out.
Fuck,
we've got nothing left. I had this old dear, she must have been in her mid-80s, and she come up and she went, I heard about what you was doing. I've saved up me Boots loyalty cards and I've got you this pack of nappies. And like,
my
bottom lip went, mate. Yeah. I was like, oh, man. Even the fucking traffic warden went, oh, but you're doing, mate. Don't worry, I ain't going to ticket anyone outside the club for the next couple of hours.
What? Mate, you've got traffic wardens on board. Jesus Christ.
Refugees, mate.
So next time you go down the shops, go, oh, I'm doing another collection.
Yeah. But, and it was like, right, and at the first day, we filled the van. It was like, this fucking is hell, insane. Man. And then that night, someone went to me, have you looked at, like, the logistics to get stuff into the EU? And I was like, no, I've booked us on the tunnel. And it's like, no, no, you need to look at what you're doing here. Then this was like 2 days before we was going. So, you know, from the idea to collecting it was like 3 days, and then we was going to go that weekend. So this was like the Wednesday night, and I was like, oh, no. So I'm like, I've gone online and I'm looking at how to take goods into the EU. And if they didn't like the UK already, Europe, they really don't like us now. Well, we're not in the EU.
Of course they don't, Jesus.
And so I'm like, well, look, I'm not trading. This is humanitarian aid. And it was just a head fuck, like trying to work out what was what. And then I just thought, right, back to Facebook. Does anybody know about logistics and you know, border crossings with goods? And my mate Gary got in touch and went, yep, like, speak to this guy. And he gave his services for free. And basically said, you need to itemise everything. And I'm like, what?
Oh, my God.
So we then spent another 2 days at the club itemising, like, every single thing.
Jesus.
There's thousands and thousands of items.
Yeah, yeah.
We worked out, we took about 16 grand's worth of stuff out there. It was mental, Rich. Jesus, it really man. Was.
Yeah, yeah.
And at that point, you know, to go full circle to say, like, oh, yeah, you know, you just get on with it and have a go at it. It was like, it's the first time I literally said, oh, I might be off my night and chew here.
Yeah.
I think this is a bit much, this. Like, I was worried that we was going to get to the customs and not get through, and we're just going to be sitting at the Euro tunnel and not be able to get across into France. So yeah, we got everything itemised. We got all of our passes, everything that we needed, and we didn't even get stopped. We just went straight on the fucking train. It was like, oh, my. But I'm had so we not, we would have got stopped.
Yeah, of course you would have done. Yeah, yeah, you've been there for weeks. But that's the thing. That's the thing with anything. When you can't just go, we're going to help. There's always the bureaucracy behind it. There's always the bollocks, because people are always, because the world is so corrupt and everyone's, they're all worried about missing out, like, oh, we can make some money on this, oh, we might miss out on our little chunk of this. It all gets caught up
in... Refugees' T-shirts are available at my LinkedIn, by the way.
All money goes to the Stu Whiffing Fund. but it is, it's all the bollocks behind it. You can't just go, oh, we're going to do that, we're going to fill a van with 16 grand's worth of stuff and we're going to drive it down to people that desperately need it. Mm. They go, oh yeah, but you need to fill out form 52B and then you need to go and pay this much. You need to go and do that. Oh, you need a visa, or you need a license, or you need a this, you need it. Oh, I need to...
Oh mate, it yeah. Personally cost us, all three of us that went out there, a fair few quid to do this. And like, but we set up a just giving on the way, like that. We didn't get any of that. That was set up in association with War Child.
So yeah.
I got a good mate called Jim Benner at War Child that I've known for donkey's years. That like basically just kind of said, look, this would be incredible if you can do it for us. We can, you know, give you lots of help with this, and it was amazing. And so because I drive like a pensioner, they wouldn't let me drive the van.
I know, we've had that chat when you went, you think I'm a Silver Dream racer and you're driving Miss Daisy everywhere.
And so I wasn't allowed to drive. So thankfully the two fellas that I went with, one used to do Formula Ford,
and
the other one races Beetle Bugs. So they were both like towing it across Europe. But what that enabled me to do was be the promoter, which meant I could reach out to my handsome friends like Rich Wilson and say, can you do me a little video?
Yeah, mate.
And say, look, this is what's going on, if you can donate to this link below. And so much the same as the music thing, I thought, right, I'm just going to hit up all the people that have been on the podcast and all my mates that haven't got my face, because no one's interested in me banging on about stuff. So I thought, if I try and reach out to some people that have got recognisable faces, it should hopefully sort of, you know, prick a bit of attention from people when they're scrolling through their phones. And it did. And every time that I posted one, you know, was just my email notification just going bing, 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 like just giving. And it was like, and it was really great. And it sounds really weird, and I mean it's in the nicest way, but like the first day we went across France, Belgium, Netherlands, and right to the arse end of Germany over in, and stayed in Dresden. So it was like an insane day's driving.
Mm.
And you know, we had a good time. Like, you know, we were sitting there, you know, the three lads in a van together, and we're driving across Europe. You know, it was laughs and music was on, and
and
I don't mean that in a crass way. We knew why we was going there, and we knew that, you know, we was doing something that was going to help people. And then the next morning we got up and we drove. The plan was to drive. It wasn't far from Poland, like literally about 40 minutes from Poland. So it was like, right, we're going to go to Poland and we're going to go right up to Ukraine today. And we did. And halfway across Poland, maybe three quarters of the way across Poland, you start to see a lot of buses, a lot of minibuses and cars full of refugees going the opposite way.
Yeah.
And you've seen like these number plates that have come from all over Europe. These people are doing these amazing things. And it's like, fuck. And it hadn't really, the enormity hadn't really sort of dawned on us. But what I should also say, that morning they'd bombed Lviv.
Yeah,
That's 30 miles from the border. And so it was like, then I'm starting to think, that's like if they bombed London.
Yeah.
Like from mine. And so you was actually seeing like Polish people coming away as well. It's at that point that you're like, why are we going the other way? Because everyone's going away. And then we stopped at a services to get a coffee. And then you were seeing some of these buses and that pull in. And then you were seeing cars and that from across Europe that had come to basically meet them. And you were seeing lots of very fucking emotional reunions. Mm. And that was when you start thinking, oh, fucking hell, this is fucked.
Yeah.
And then when we got back in the van for like the last of it, there wasn't many people driving to the border. If there was, it was people doing what we were doing, just taking aid. But all you were seeing was just, like, I filmed it because it was mad. It was just military vehicles. And obviously they're not very fast, so all we're doing is just overtaking these, like, tanks. And it's like, fucking hell, this is you don't see this, and it all of a sudden, you know, the music got turned off and the conversation sort of dipped a little bit and it was like, right, okay, so this is we now know that, like, why we're doing this for sure.
Yeah.
This is fucking like nothing I'd ever seen before. But we then got to the centre where we got told to go. We met some amazing people there, and I mean, they were all volunteers. Lots of them worked for United Nations and stuff, and they were like incredible people. The guy that we met, Sebastian, who was Syrian, he was ex-Syrian Special Forces.
Oh wow!
And he was some character, and he was just
they're another breed, aren't they, Special Forces in whatever country.
Mate, he was. Yeah. Do you know what? He was great, and I've got this thing where, like, wherever I go in the world, I sort of, like, if I ever go on holiday, I bump into someone I don't necessarily know, but like, oh, they've come to the club once and things like that. So I'm chatting to this Sebastian, and I said, so what have you done post-military? He said, oh, I got into security and events and that, and ended up working for Live Nation. I was like, you're joking. I said, cool, I've done some stuff with Live Nation. My mate John Dunn's a big player over there. He went, oh, I worked for John for years. And I was like, fuck. You know, the two fellas I was with was like, you're having a laugh. I was like, yeah, he's from Chelmsford, mate.
Because this is a thing about you again. You are the most, one of the most connected people I've ever met. You're the only person I know that can drive all the way at the Polish border, Ukraine border. There's a war going on, and some cunt goes, all right, Stu.
But I'll tell you what, he was great. And we was unloading the van, and like I say, it was all volunteers. This place obviously didn't exist 2 weeks ago. They'd only had electricity like 3 days in this massive warehouse. And it all gets put on different pallets. And then we got told that it wasn't all going to the refugees. The nappies and sanitary items and toiletries were, but the thermal clothing and the first aid stuff was going back into Ukraine for the Ukraine soldiers. So that was even better to hear that.
Yeah.
The stuff was also going back into where it was really needed, as you know, in Ukraine as well. But he had some spirit, this fella, and I went, look, I said, do you mind if I film a little bit of the van being unloaded and you just tell us like who you are and what you're doing here? Because so many people have given lots of items and are going to be watching different various social media feeds to kind of, and if there's a way that they can see their stuff, what they've done being unloaded, it'd be lovely. And he went, yeah, of course. He went, yeah, just film me. He went, "Hi, I'm Sebastian. It's a lovely sunny day here in Turkey. The lads have just arrived. We're about to do a boot sale." And, and now when you think that, what a dude, man. And,
yeah.
And the thing was, after that, we had a quick cup of tea before we cracked on. And, you know, and he was telling us some far more serious stuff that was just... you know, awful. And you see these centres and, you know, there's kids working in there with their mums and like, and it was just, do you know what, Lee? Like, a few people said to me, like, "Oh, you know, was it really, like, fucking horrible when you got there?" I was like, "Nah." I said, like, all I saw was kindness and love and just generosity and people just trying to do nice things. And that was all you saw. And like, and yeah, it was proper humbling and nice to in the nicest possible way. I say this, obviously, I know exactly, you know, that why we was doing it and the horror that's going on there. But you see that, oh right, there's really fucking nice people on this planet.
Yeah,
like I'm sure you go over that border and there's some really fucking horrible people doing horrible things.
Yeah,
but what all we saw was people that were just trying to help, and it was just really lovely to see, and lots of kindness, and all the way back, we all had like I'll show you. So we all had these in the windows of our in the windows of our trucks, and so everyone was just kind of waving to each other, and like when you was going past the military, and that the military were all like waving, and it was just. Yeah, just a lot of human beings coming together to try and do something positive was a nice thing to experience.
Yeah.
And to do something that is fundamentally for some really awful reasons, what we saw was lots of love and generosity. And that was nice to see.
Beautiful, man. I love that. Because you see the photos, you see the footage, and you see all the things. To the point, I've had to stop looking at it because I'm like, because this is the thing that they don't tell you about. It's not even a war. It's a country defending itself. It's not even... because a war is normally like two countries kicking off and go, right, we own this. Now we own this, and we go for it. But this is Ukraine defending it, because it didn't want to go to war, just defending itself from this fucking mad lunatic, this tyrant. They don't see... but you don't see is... like, we've seen old photos of World War II and all these other things like that, but you don't really see the effect it has on everyday people trying to go to work. You're just trying to live your life. I remember being when I went to Afghanistan, and it was the first time it struck me that everyday people just trying to go about their business. I was in Kabul, and I remember looking out of the window where we were living, and then I saw kids playing football over the other side of the wall. I saw women buying fruit and veg. I saw men, you know, dragging bags of things around, and I'm like, fuck, we're in the middle of their... it's like us being in the middle of Basildon. It's like, you know what I mean? People are just going about their business while there's this mad shit going on. And that's the thing. That's why you can really tell what a person's like when the shit hits the fan, how they react. And so when the shit hit the fan, you stepped up and went, "I'm doing this." And that's such a beautiful thing. And a lot of people, like, again, like you said, everyone just went, "All right, fuck it. This is what we're doing now. Let's help these people." And that just gives me so much joy to know that happens out there. It's happening everywhere.
I'm lucky that the two people I went with were in situations like me where they work for themselves. I could still do my work off my phone when I was in the van and things like that. So nothing majorly suffered. So I was in a position where I could do that. Whereas a lot of people, you know, they've got jobs to fucking go to.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so and I think that those people that couldn't do what we done were like, right, okay, so what can we do? Right, well, we just donate.
Yeah,
and like, and so, you know, I do realise what we done weren't that easy. Like the driving out there was, but to get in it all in place before we went was a ball ache. And and I can understand why some people are like, "Oh, fuck this." I'll just stick a few quid in that. Like that makes total sense.
But I think that's the thing that people need to keep in mind, is that, yeah, like you've just literally just hit now on the head. It's like, yeah, of course you want to help. And if it was happening right, if it was happening right in front of you, you'd down tools and you go, right, well, I'm getting stuck in. But you know, you still got to live your life. But because of social media, it's everywhere. And then we start to feel helpless. We start to feel like, oh, I feel bad now because I'm not doing anything. But at the same time, I can't do anything because I've got to take care of my own family, or I've got to take care of my own stuff. I've got to pay the bills. I've still got to go to work and things like that. It's like, yeah, that's fine. Don't worry about it. You can't. It's not your fault that that war's happening. You know, it's the generals on the hill. They're all kicking off of each other. They're the ones that are fucking it all up for the rest of us trying to get by. So don't, when you see these things, when you see them, don't feel bad that you can't do anything. You just do what you can, like donate a little bit, or you just, you know, send something, or do, you can do that. You don't have to get your hands dirty and get involved. You don't have to feel guilty if you can't, if you're not in a position to help.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and that's it.
We got Boris Johnson running the country, mate. We'll be fine.
Was it, what did 76 say? A big bag of custard.
Fat bag of custard.
Fat bag of custard. And I wouldn't, right, because I see some of it and I go, I'm not even a Boris fan, but there's been a few things I go, he's getting stitched up here. He can't be this stupid. I'm sure he's getting portrayed. They don't want him in, and that's fair enough. I get it. He's a fucking terrible, he's a terrible Prime Minister, but sometimes I feel like he's getting kicked in the bollocks. And I'm not defending him. It's just like, I don't know.
He don't make it easy for himself.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. None of them do. It's a fucking shit show.
Yeah, oh,
absolute
it really is.
Shit show. And it just...
It really is.
We need someone in power now. And it, going back to Scroobius's song, it just resonates so much when he's... He, you know, it's like governments, we elect them. They work for us. It's not the other way around. You know, they're there to... It's so true, and it still rings true to this day. But they forget that. They still talk like they're our bosses. And like, no, mate, we voted... You got voted in. I didn't vote for... I'm not a Tory, but they were voted in. So, you know, they were voted in because people believed that they were the best people for the job.
To represent
them. To represent us. And now they're not. They're just there. They're just creaming them out, as much off as they can. While the fucking boat sinks, and you're like, you just, but then who, I don't know, don't want to get into politics and that, but
no, they're all as bad, you know, as each other.
They are, mate. My dad told me the world is corrupt from the top down, and he used to work at Whitehall, so he knows. So, you know, and he told me that I was 10. I'm like, all right, dad, keep it light. Just want to play cricket out the park, dad, with my old oil can for stumps. Come on, dad, chill out. But that's the thing. If you are in a position to help, then good, fair play. But if you're not, don't beat yourself up. You know, because what you're doing by taking care of what you're taking care of and all the people around, you're still doing your bit for the universe. You're still doing your bit for the world. You know, and that's all you can do. Don't stress. Don't get bogged down with it all. Because that's the things they make you feel bad. They put it on you. They go, oh yeah, it's fucked because of you. And you go, hang on a minute. That's not me. I've got £4.96 left of my overdraft. How is the country fucked because of me?
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
You know, it's that, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's weird. I was talking the other day about how, like, I was talking about emotion in music, and I was saying that, like, my earliest memory of that, and it would have been Charity, and it was, hopefully you'll remember as well, Rich. Obviously, we're the same age. And that bit in Live Aid, when they stopped and they showed the footage of the famine and they played Drive by the Cars.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there and like at my aunt's house and my mum and nan, my mum and aunt were crying. And I was like, oh, man, like we've got, someone's got to do something about this.
Yeah.
And it's really, I was literally talking about that record last night as well. Just, and it's synonymous with that in my mind. Like, but it's an incredible record, Rich.
Yeah.
It's a fucking masterpiece. And it's one of the records that, like, I play over and over and over and can't work out what it is that makes it so perfect.
Yeah.
No.
It's one of them ones. It's one of those songs where, because I 100% agree with you. Because it's one of them that I remember when it came out, and I was only young like you, so I didn't really give a shit about it. It wasn't really what I was into, so I didn't give a fuck. But then it's when later on, and your taste matures a little bit, you come at it from a different angle. And I remember I had it on headphones, it just came on. And I was just like, oh my God, this is, like you said, this is perfection.
And it's all about mental health.
Yeah. It's fucking great. There's so many songs now that I'm older. I get it now. I'm like, oh yeah, that makes more sense. Because you get to a point, because they're at the time they come out and they're massive, and you hear it so much you don't hear it anymore.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like the four tops reach out.
Oh,
I think we've talked about this before. I probably have, because I wang on about it all the time. When you listen to that song, when I used to hear it as a kid, it was just always on, so I never gave it a fuck. I was like, oh yeah, it's that song again. It wasn't until I listened to it as an adult and I went, oh my God. Like, he didn't even write the song, but he meant every word when he was singing it.
There's something to be said for that. Like, when the songwriter isn't the singer, and to be the singer and get it so right. Depeche Mode are a great example of that.
Yes.
That Martin Gore writes them songs, but Dave Gahan, you'd never know that he's not singing. Like he wrote them things. He's not singing about his experiences. It's like, I think it's really, really. And I don't think it was Rick. Is it Rick Ocasek?
Yeah.
He didn't sing Drive, did he?
No.
Like, it was the bass player or someone sung Drive.
No.
Do you want to sing this one? Yeah, oh yeah, go on then. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, by a mile, the biggest hit they ever had. But yeah, what a beautiful, beautiful record.
Yeah, man. But this is what I love. This is why I mean, you and I fell in love straight away. But the thing that goes through is just music. I've said this on your podcast before, but you know, I'll come at you with going like trying to catch you out. I go, do you remember this? And you go, oh yeah, yeah, I've got all their albums. I go, fuck me. How do you know about them? No one's heard of them, you know. Yeah. And it's, you've got such a vast knowledge.
I've got to have something on my CV, Rich. I've got fuck all else, mate.
Be honest, I don't know about you, but I just left school. I stopped going. So I didn't come away with any qualifications. So I've just kind of had to blag it my entire life, you know, and
I see it through. Like, I weren't as gangster as you. I see it through. But I didn't come away with anything. So where I'm interested to talk, look at me hosting your podcast.
Just do it.
But I'm always interested in this because I had to go through it a couple of years ago, and I know your boys are a little older than my girls.
Mm.
But when it come to their exams, like the stress that I could see my daughters were under.
Yeah.
And all I wanted to say was, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Like, don't matter.
Yeah.
It ain't worth a fucking rub.
No, exactly.
But like,
you get a line in your CV anyway, who gives a fuck?
You know, yes, but that's because they probably didn't, they're not seeing the world. And it's also sort of saying to them, look, in a couple of years, you'll look back and think, what the fuck did I give a shit for? But maybe they will, because that's just the life that we chose.
Mm.
And it's like, I also know people that were very studious and their exam results were paramount to them being able to go to university and being able to do what they wanted to do.
Yeah, of course.
And so it was quite a weird one to try and sort of balance that, because I did just want to say, you should not be crying about this. Like, it doesn't fucking matter.
Mm.
Like, you can make your own luck, you can do this, but you're telling that to somebody that's 16, that it's the biggest thing in their world.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
And so how did you like have that with your boys?
Yeah, same. It was like, I remember going in my head, I'm like, don't ask me how I dealt with it. I just stopped going. But on the one occasion I did turn up, it was on the wrong day. So they were like, well, you've made an effort, Wilson, but it was yesterday. Oh, shit. Nice to see you again. I think they gave me a pass just for turning up. I think that was...
Oh, sweet.
It's like, oh, yeah, listen, you can have that one. But, it was the same with the lads, because, again, you don't want... especially with my youngest, Bailey. He was never very academic, and I could see... His older brother was on a massive picture in the foyer of the school. When you walked in, there was like these four pictures of like someone on a computer, someone doing it, and then there's a massive picture of his older brother playing rugby, because his brother was like playing it was like, you know, king of the school. He was like amazing at basketball. We played all the sports. Everyone loved him. And then Bailey was kind of in his shadow. So Bailey felt like it was a lot to sort of, everyone was sort of comparing him to Keanu.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So then Bailey sort of went the other way and was like, fuck this. I want to get out of here as soon as possible. But bless him, he cracked on and he did well enough, and he got into the sixth form. And then I think he was in his first year of sixth form, and it just sort of fell apart. And everyone agreed. He's like, look, he goes, I'm not academic. I don't want to be here. And they're like, yeah, we can see you don't want to be here. You know, but good luck to you. Well done. And he sort of went off. And then he had a couple of jobs here and there, and he ended up working for Levi's in the shop in Bluewater. And then he had to leave because he called the manager a the manager a C word. Because Brady's one of those people who just sees through the bullshit. He's just like, I do a bit about it in my act, about a kid called Gary, and the fact that another reason why there's no one called Gary around anymore is because they're all dead, because they were the psychopath in school. That when you'd walk in, they go, where's Gary? He's on the roof, sir. It's like, but Gary was the one that was showing you that the teachers were full of shit. Like, Gary wasn't listening. Gary's like, I'm not listening to this. The geezer's an idiot. He's touching all the girls. He's a fucking dirty bastard. All the parents are lying. And, of course, we're all told, no, Gary's the problem. Gary's the issue. Don't be like Gary. We're like, really, when you look back, Gary was a fucking legend. He was showing us the way. And Bailey's a lot like that. Bailey's like...
Gary would have had a motorbike at 15.
Yeah, absolutely he would. Running around with no helmet. Just... I always had a weapon or a dead animal on him. Just
100%. He would have been over the fair standing by the fucking punch bag that you put a quid into, innit?
yeah. And then goes on to be, I don't know, have his own business or just become a fucking legend.
Definitely. Gary was one of them lads that had pubes at 11.
Yeah. He'd had sex with someone's mum. He'd done all the things. And everyone was like, no, Gary's an issue. Yeah. And look back and go, oh, mate, Gary was living the dream. Like, all right, Gary had a shit, you know, his house was shit, and he probably had a terrible time with his parents, which is what led him to be the way he is. You know, he didn't have a decent father figure or whatever you need, a decent
mum. He had a
mama.
Sergio Tacchini tracksuit, though.
Yeah, of course he did. He had every week he had a new one. Every week he had the latest trainers, he had the latest haircut, he looked the bollocks all the time. He knew all the top boys, and he's only 10. But, you know, and then Bailey was a bit like that. Bailey was like, I don't want to listen to these idiots. And I'm not being told by a fucking manager that I'm beneath them when I can do a better job than them. And I'm not having it. So go fuck yourself. And so he bounced from that. And then he did another job driving a van, delivering stuff. And then one day, he'd always been interested in music. And when I was, years and years ago, I was living with a woman called Marilyn. And we lived in this house in the middle of nowhere. It had no neighbours. And we had a drum kit in the lounge. It was a big old lounge. Because the house was like an old ski lodge in the middle of nowhere. It's brilliant. And he used to come over when he was a kid. And then I'd go to gigs. And then Marilyn, and he's like, Marilyn, can I play the drums? And Marilyn's like, yeah, go and smash them up. And because of her, like, she'd let him smash around on the drums. And now he's studying music in BIM in Bristol. And he's just joined another band. He's in two bands. The second one have got backing. They've got a van lined up. They're going on the road. They're doing this. They're doing that.
It's that's cool.
Bit of jazz funk, and you're like, fuck yeah! He found his way. He found his way. So, yeah, it was stressful at the time. Going back, fuck, that's a long-winded way. But going back now, yeah, it was stressful at the time. And all you can do is be there for them and go, yeah, I get it. Look, I get it. I know it's stressful, but try not to hurt yourself. You know, do what you can. Do the best you can. But and then later on, they'll come to their own conclusions that, oh, fuck, yeah, I worried about that and I didn't really need to. But at the time, you just got to be, just do what you can. Do what you can. But don't keep yourself up all night, babe. You're going to fucking hurt yourself. You know, that.
100%.
It's like 100%. Trying to keep a tennis ball on a plank of wood.
Yeah.
Like, you just got to be there to make sure it don't go off the sides, you know? That's all you can do, mate.
Did you have a careers officer?
Yeah, no. What we had was one of the first computers. It was like one of those big old Bond villain things, you know, like size of a room.
Yeah.
And what they do...
Coming on a similar thing to the telly, on a trolley.
yeah. That big old... If that fell off, it would kill 9 kids. You have to get it brought in on a crane. It was fucked. Yeah. We didn't have a careers officer, but we did have this big computer. And it was like so this is in like the, this was in like 87, 1988, 1986, 87, big old computer. And then they put your details in this computer and then it would spit out what you were going to be on this little bit of paper. And so everyone was putting all their bits in and they're going, oh, I'm going to be a plumber. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. Right. And then mine came out error.
Are you gonna be rich?
And they never even gave me another go.
Oh, mate.
They just went, well, all right, well, we'll have to, we'll, maybe we'll come back to that. We'll let someone, and then I did, they ran out of time. And I just went, oh, well. And I just remember that. Yeah, error.
Anyone else got an error? Oh, just me and you, Gary.
Yeah. Gary's on the roof again. Ah, oh, for fuck's sake.
I sat with my careers officer. I was talking to my old man about it before I went away, going like, have you still got it? Because I took it home, and I remember my old man cracking up, right? Because I went to see the careers officer, and we had to fill this thing in, and it said, like, what do you want to be? And I said, pop star, right?
Mm.
And the careers officer, we had to go to the careers office in Grays Town Centre. I don't think there's ever been a pop star from Grays Town Centre in
Venice. Having been, and I've seen the fact that in Grays Town Centre, you've got the level crossing, and then you've got the bridge that goes over the railway.
Yeah.
And when the level crossing is down, when the gates are down, no one uses the bridge anyway. They wait.
Nah, mate.
They wait for the gate to come back up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sit out. We've got 20 minutes to kill.
Got nowhere to be. Greg's will still be there. But yeah, sorry. Yeah, go on.
I'm a pop star. And I remember him sitting me down. And I can still picture his name. His name was Mr. Evans. And he was going, look, you need to realise that, like, you're not going to be a pop star. And I was like, and he was like, can you sing? I was like, nah. and I was like, but, like, I really want to, like, you know, be on the telly doing, like, singing and that. I want to be a pop star. And he was like, look, you need to be a bit more realistic with your, you know, your vision here. Like, you know, have you considered this? And it was like, mechanic, basically they were just pushing you all to go and work for Ford.
Yeah, of course. Oh yeah, because Dagenham was up the road, wasn't it? Yeah.
And I went, I don't want to do that. And like, and I reckon 70% of the lads in my year went to work at Ford's, and I was like, no. And he said, anything else? And I've still got this written down. I went, yeah, stuntman.
You were the original Gary. Yeah.
I was never naughty. And there was two lads. There was a lad called Oz that had a motorbike at 15, and he had a hairy chest. He definitely, like, had it off. He was just a no, like, you have them, like, kids at school that look like adults.
Yeah.
I was just never one of them. Them sort of, like, kids that talk to your dad like he was one of your mates. Like, and it was like, oh, I still never got that. I still, when I speak to a lot of grown-up, even I'm 48, I still feel like I'm not having a man-to-man conversation.
Yeah, same. Absolutely.
Like, you put
same.
Me in, like, a garage, you're saying, like, oh, I'm fucked, mate.
I went in the other week. I took my missus' car in because he had a puncture, and I went in. And I'm like, I'm in this tyre place, and they basically walk in and they go, what? And straight, you're like, oh, fuck. And but you have to go, oh, that's got a fat tyre. He goes, all right, put it in there. You go, all right. And you're becoming one of them. And then it's just those environments. I shit my pants all the time because I'm not that. Even though I sound like that.
Yeah.
I'm not that. So yeah, when I'm talking to what I perceive as a grown up.
Yeah.
I go right back to when I was a kid, just like.
It's pathetic. In situations like that, I think. What, I've said fuck four times in that sentence. Why? And, like, and I've turned up the Danny Dyer to like 11.
Yeah.
Like, why am I doing it? Like, it's pathetic. They're not changing.
Nah.
Like, why am I trying to kind of change to be more like them? Maybe it's just because it's their environment. I don't know.
It's defence, isn't it? It's a defence mechanism. Mm. You feel a little bit insecure. You feel a little bit this, that, and the other. So the defence has come up, and what you try and do is emulate your perceived attacker.
Of course.
So you become them. So they go, he's one of us. That's fine. Yeah. It's like, yeah, like, you know, yeah, you're a zebra walking up to the lions, and all of a sudden you're putting a big furry thing around your head.
and one of them. Sweet bruv and things like that. It's like, don't talk like that.
All right, geese. All right. Yeah, bruv. All right, boss man. Oh, God. I know what you mean. Yeah. I want to take my top off and have a wrestle with him. I know what you mean. But how do you feel? Because I've got lads. So I've got sons. And I, you know, you sort of bring them up, you know, to respect their elders. You know, there's the conversations you have.
Just like, going to stop you there, Rich. I know we're recording on here, but I think my memory card must have filled up on my external record. So
right.
I'll send over what I've got. Sorry to interrupt.
Nah, that's all right, mate.
Let you know.
But you're talking about how, you know, to how you, you know, when you're meeting, when you started to meet potential partners, you know, you're meeting like maybe women or men or whoever.
I'm just, sorry, mate, I'm going to have to interrupt a little bit. If your external things go filling up, could we turn the volume down on your mic input to the Zoom if we're just taking Zoom audio? I don't know if you've got a gain on it. It's just very loud. If not, we can do it within Zoom.
I don't think, yeah, you have to do it within Zoom.
Yeah, yeah, just if you open up that audio
move
setting.
It away. Is that better?
No, because you'll be a bit all echoey. It's just where it gets a bit loud. Sorry,
okay.
Rich.
That's all
that thought. If you go again to where you went before, so you click the drop down box next to mute.
Oh, right.
Audio settings.
Yeah.
And then you'll see your speaker and microphone, and you just drag the microphone down sort of three quarters.
Oh, sorry, hang on. Suppress background noise.
Oh, no, sorry. It's probably above that. One second. I'll just emulate what you're doing. Where is it? Yeah, so you should have
input level
speaker,
of microphone.
Yeah, that's it. If it
bring that down, yeah.
If you just bring it down sort of two notches.
Doesn't seem to want to let me.
Yeah.
Well, let me move it. Input level. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. That won't let me move it. That's weird. I'll automatically adjust.
Oh, yeah, you need to uncheck that. Sorry.
All right, there you go. 1, 2, 1, 2. Is that better?
That's really quiet now, so...
There, is that better? 1, 2, 1, 2.
Yeah, that's great. I'll just turn it up here and I'll just make a note that we're, yeah, and drag that mic a bit closer to you and I'll try and match the sound with your Zoom.
Okay, sorry, buddy.
That's all right.
It's all right. Sorry to interrupt, guys. It was going really well.
That's all right. I'm just saying, like, because I've got sons and you're bringing them up how to respect other people, basically. And, you know, there's, the conversations come up about meeting people and how you are. Like my sons, I remember trying to be, being open with my sons. And I'm like, look, if you ever want to come, come to me, come talk to me. You know, if you've got something you want to tell me. To the point, I remember my eldest turning around and go, Dad, for the last time, I'm not gay. Will you pack it in? I'm like, I just want you to know that, I want you to know it's, whatever path you're going down and whoever you are, I accept you and I love you. So we got to the point when they're meeting women and they're doing this and the other. And then you explain to them how you behave and how you react and do this and the other. How has it been with daughters? Because you know how shit men can be. It's a clunky way of asking this. I don't really know how to ask, but has it been different for you? Rather, you kind of go, look, men are this and men are that. You've got to be careful, blah, blah, blah. Or not been too bad?
The youngest is 16, and that's not really presented itself yet.
No.
I don't think that's far off. There's all of a sudden she's at college now and she's at more. but my eldest, who's 19, she's had a boyfriend for quite a few years now, and it's a weird one. It's like. When she first got it is strange, and I don't want to be cliched protective dad.
No,
but I don't know. I tried to do the things that we are. She talks to me, which is the main thing.
Yeah,
and I try not to go, well, no, you ain't doing that, because I just think I'd rather know what she's doing, and she doesn't keep stuff from me. She's 19. She's a grown woman now. But she lives with us, and she's still my daughter. My she's still a kid to me in my eyes, which I have to kind of balance how I talk to her, because I can't always be like, she's got a full time job and drives and does all the things that grown women do. But she still does feel like a one of my little kids. But when she first got a boyfriend, I was really hoping this lad weren't going to turn up and be a, you're right, get me
rough. Oh, yeah.
And he was super polite and he's very studious. And that said, the first night he come for dinner, I said, and I've got a good relationship with Hallie, and I was like, is he going to mind if like, what do you think if I like fuck with him? She was like, do it. And And so at first, because I've got like a punch bag in my garden, I thought, when we sit down, the first thing he says, I'm just going to lose my rag and just take my shirt off and just go out and start smashing his punch bag outside the patio doors. And like, and Hallie was like, don't do that. He'd be like really scared. And I was like, oh, okay. So what we done was made a big shepherd's pie and he went to pick the big spoon up to serve himself. And I just went, we didn't. And he was like, what? And I went, we say grace in this house.
No.
Say grace. Mate. Oh. He would have as well. And I was like, oh, just fucking me up.
Oh, mate.
But it is weird, you know. Sometimes, they have Raz. And it's hard to kind of sometimes when you hear, your daughter's upset to not want to protect her and go and have a word, but you can't because if she's in danger, that's different, but their relationships, you learn from having arguments and disagreements and it's not nice, but it's part of life, isn't it? No relationships are bed of roses forever. And so yeah, it's always been all right, really. Mm. She's chosen a nice guy, so that helps. If it was somebody that was a bit more troublesome, then I think it'd be a very different story.
Mm.
But it is an odd one. It is an odd one, and I'll be interested to see how it develops with my youngest. But I'm lucky. You met my kids.
They're brilliant.
They're good kids. I know everyone says their kids are good kids, but they're sensible, and that gives me a peace of mind.
Yeah,
they're probably a bit more cautious than maybe they should be in sometimes. But I'd rather that than it be the opposite.
Mate, it's surprising how astute your kids are, because you just like you just said, you go, oh, they're my kids. But it's like talking to Bailey, and I've said this before, and I remember Bailey was talking to my ex, and he just and I heard him say. He goes, well, the thing is with Dad, he just needs a little bit looking after now and again, and they do know what's going on around them, and they are aware, and they are making their own decisions, and they're working it all out for themselves. It's easy for us to go to try and, like, mollycoddle them and go, no, I'm going to protect you. But actually, they're figuring it out, and they're going to be all right. Your kids are wonderful. Like you said, I've met them, I've spent time with them. They're brilliant. They're fucking great, man. And you've done and that comes down to the parents. You and Carol, blinding. Oh, you've done a blinding job. And that's how because I worry sometimes about growing up. I'm like, when I'm growing up and they were like, I wasn't there. I was there all the time, but their mum and I broke up when they were really young. But, you look at them now and they go, oh, no, it actually was all right. Still did a good job, so stop. Yeah, it's all good, and that's what you can take away from that, mate. And you are a fucking legend, and that's why I always get you on, because you're a dude, and you make this happen. You make so much happen, and I'm proud to know you, mate. Proud to know you, honestly,
that's,
mate.
That's really, really fucking lovely of you to say, Rich. And like I say, I saw you do stand up, and I don't know what it was. I thought I've got to go and speak to that guy, and there was other stand-ups on that night, and I've been to that comedy club a few times, but I thought, I'm going to go and speak to that guy, and within 5 minutes, you just think, I'll get this guy.
Yeah, same.
I think we've had very similar upbringings, maybe half hour apart, separated by the Thames, and we grew up at the same time, at the same age, and it's nice to call you a friend, mate.
Yeah, same, mate. And it's been a fucking joy to talk to you. I've needed this. I feel all pumped now. Ready to go. Start some projects. So this is where we start. Now, we need to know, where can we find you? And I know this is an extensive list. So when people listen to this, they go, right, I want to go and check out his other stuff. Where can they find you, Stu Whiffin?
Right, okay. Where to start? Right, so if you you want to come and have a good time, come to the Pink Toothbrush Nightclub. I'm there every Friday. It's the UK's longest running alternative night spot. So if you want to hear some noisy racket and lovely people doing their thing, then you can come there in Rayleigh. And if you like podcasts, I'm sure you do. That's why you're listening to Richie's. Then I have a few. I have one where I speak to musicians, comedians, actors, called Off the Beat and Track podcast. That's a bit like sort of like a Desert Island Discs, but more about the artist's creative journey and such. And yeah, you can hear Rich on that one. And the first one that Rich come on was my Hardcore Listening podcast, which has been running for 5 years now. Light Off the Beaten Track, that's on Scroobius Pips' Distraction Pieces Network. And we have guests on where they come on and pick a topic and then count down the top five on it, from films to sandwiches to embarrassing moments to whatever you want. And I've got a couple more. I'm going to throw them out there. I've got one which I do with a one-man comedy musician called Cunt and the Gang, who's been a guest on this very podcast.
Yes,
and
he is.
We do a podcast once a month called Acceptably in the 80s, and that is because we've been friends for over 40 years. So what we do each month is we go back 40 years. So we recorded last night, we recorded April 1982, and we talk about the music charts, what was on telly, what was happening in the world, what was happening on sport. And it's ridiculous. It's a load of nonsense. But what it is, it's peppered with some of the daft things that me and him have done over our 40 years of friendship. And lastly, I have my other big passion is mixed martial arts. And I have a podcast called the MMA Fan Podcast. And I do that with my co-host, the actor Blake Harrison from In Between Us. And we talk to some of the best mixed martial artists in the world, essentially UFC fighters. And we talk to them about not really necessarily like their styles or anything. We talk about the mindset of what it is to be a fighter, those moments before you walk out into, you know, the O2 in front of, you know, thousands and thousands of people to do something that not many people would ever contemplate doing, get in a cage and hurt, you know, try and hurt someone and get hurt. And so we sort of break down the sort of what goes into making these people want to do that, and what you get is a really lovely insight that mixed martial artists are some of the most open, honest, kind, lovely human beings, and disciplined human beings in the world. Then that, you know, we try and dispel that myth that they're all thugs and lunatics and doormen that just want to go and hit someone. They're not. It's called mixed martial arts, and you know, to be good at one martial art is so difficult, but to be, you know, incredible at a mixture of those and to be able to compete at such a high level, it takes a really special person. And we sort of dig deep and ask them about their mindset. And they're all my podcasts, but if you want to know any more about podcasts, I have a magazine with Scroobius Pip and Adam Richardson called The Pod Bible, and we do 65,000 copies of that every other month, and that goes out inside the Sunday Times. And it's like your enemy for podcasts. It's real
brilliant.
Right, you've been in there, Rich.
Yeah, I have.
And you can find out about that at podbiblemag.com. Everything else you need to know, go on my Instagram at stewwhiffen, WHIFFEN, and there's a link tree, and all the links for all the stuff I've been boring you with for the last 3 minutes is on there.
Thank you very much, Stu Whiffen.
I didn't take a breath. Fucking hell. It's another episode.
That's a record, mate. That's the longest
Sorry,
bit. I think Stu's done this before.
Yeah. But this is the point. That's a beautiful thing to just, it just underlines what I said. This man just pushes himself to do so many things. Like, his CV is as long as your arm, and it's a joy, mate. And this has been so good. That's the longest run at the end. Like, where can we find you? Fucking everywhere. On a bus, on a plane, I'm everywhere, mate.
I'm looking through your window.
Yeah, I was just, I'm going to go to the toilet in a minute. You're probably in there. You're like the Timothy Chalamet of the podcast world. Just fucking everywhere. This has been lovely, mate. Love you.
Oh, mate, absolute pleasure. Thanks, Rich. Insane in the membrane.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.